What the Actual Fork podcast is co-hosted by two intuitive eating registered dietitians, yours truly, Sammy Previtt, owner of Fine Food Freedom, and Jenna Warner, owner of Happy Strong Healthy.
We can't stand diet culture bullshit and love keeping it real. Our mission is for all humans to believe that they are made for so much more than chasing a smaller body. We are also here to share with you that food can be fun and pleasurable again.
Although we are medical professionals, we are human beings too. We are not afraid to share our deepest, darkest secrets and how many years of our lives were taken by diet culture.
We started this podcast so no human has to feel alone in their journey towards food freedom. So get comfy and join us for a casual combo where you can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and grow.
We are so grateful that you're here. So if you enjoy this podcast and want to connect further, we invite you to follow along on Instagram at @whattheactualforkpod and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so we can continue to share this message with more and more people. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of What the Actual Fork podcast. Jenna, how are you doing today?
I really don't feel like I have a follow-up as far as my What the Actual Fork moment that's different from what I've already said, because we only talked 1 week ago and the comments on the banana post are still raging. So that's all I got.
I haven't done a checkup of your banana post, but I will have to do that. Well, I feel like today is what the actual fork moment of the week can be, what the actual fork is happening to my body.
Yes.
Postpartum edition for you, pregnancy edition for me, but let's keep this one postpartum edition, and I'm happy to add in my previous postpartum what the fuck moments, because I feel like there's so many of them.
Like, and it's just, I feel like they come very surprising. And so for reference, I am 4 months postpartum officially. And I just feel like the female, we get really just like get really fucked over around 4 months. Because sure, number one, the babies go through their sleep cycle changes around between 3 and 4 months. So that 4 month regression is actually not something you can avoid. It's literally what I've learned is like a baby goes from, I think it's like 2 stages of sleep when they're sleeping to 4, or maybe vice versa. Whatever makes more sense. And so like they're actually learning to sleep at that time. So at 4 months around that time, your whatever sleep you were getting goes back to zero. And then
my baby's sleeping so well.
And then all of a sudden, like they're just like learning how to connect sleep cycles, which is wild. So there's that. And then that's when the hair loss starts. So full disclosure, I've been taking like more supplements in order to try and prevent or like, because my hair loss with Noah was just horrible and I didn't know it was coming. This time I knew it was coming. So I've been trying so hard to just be like diligent about that, this time and prevention of it. And wow, nothing works. Because not only is my hair falling out like full force now at 4 months postpartum, the full-on texture of my hair has completely changed, and I feel like it happened overnight. And it's funny because I used this like a hair mask that I saw naturally on TikTok thinking it was going to be like a lifesaver. And I thought that I just like it, maybe it was too heavy for my hair and that it just didn't wash out. So I did a double wash. It's been a week and nothing has helped. And so then I started Googling and I'm like, why is my hair so much oilier now? Like I never had oily
hair.
That
happened to me.
And it's a thing. It just didn't happen with Noah. It's a thing. Like your hair, you produce more oil and like your scalp just gets oilier. Is that even a word? Oilier?
More oily? I don't know.
But whatever the proper term is, my hair literally looks like I could like cook some steak on it, like at all times now, or some eggs. I don't know. Well, I obviously don't cook steak, but
I hope I can give you some positive vibes that happened to me.
And then it went away. So like okay. I had severe postpartum hair loss around month four. Same thing. Didn't like heard about it, but thought like I just assumed it meant like you were going to shed a little bit more. But then I remember being in the shower and like using conditioner and I like screamed and Luke came in and was like, are you okay? And I was like, no. And I like was just like shoving it on the walls and it was just like it could build a wig. Like it was so, and anytime I wash my hair that happened to me.
And it's everywhere. Like I'm pulling it off of the baby. I'm pulling it off of like everything. And then I start thinking to myself, you know, I have my trusty razor with me at all times. It's like, why isn't it falling out of like my one chin hair spot? Like, why is it my head? I don't understand.
But so like, I do remember that I had like the shift into oil, but that eventually went away. I don't remember when it went away, but I just remember being like, oh, fuck me. Like, here's another thing. And I just like, but I, you know what? I think that's when, if you go back in my content, you'll see I went through like a slick back pony phase. I think I just really laid into it and said, fuck it. And you know that we're kind of lucky that's like in.
Yeah, totally.
Then I was doing just like a lot of slick back ponies because I was like, well, my hair has already basically got the oil in it to create this look. Why not add some more and just really lean in? So...
Well, yeah. There's that. And that does give me hope. But like at the same time, so I texted my mom the other day and I was like, you know, I think I mentioned last Tuesday, which I cannot believe that was last week already, that like my boobs hurt all the time, right? From pumping. And it just kind of got to the point where I'm like, maybe this isn't normal. Like they're so sore all of the time. I'm going through this hormonal shift already. I've been combo feeding the baby from the beginning. Like I was pumping quite a bit, but it was starting to stress me out. And like on days like today where I literally haven't had a minute since I opened my eyes and they were opened forcefully for me, not by just my natural waking. But you know, both boys got up at the same time and then we had to get one to school and then coordinating babies, all of the things, right? I haven't had a minute to pump. And so I made the decision, like as this hormone shift is happening already in my body, let's just layer on another hormone drop and wean from the pump at the same time. So that aspect of my body changing and like the physicality and the mental aspect of the hormone changes, plus the greasy hair, plus the fallout. No matter what you do, whatever your intentions are to like prevent any of these things from happening, let me just tell you all out there that some things you can't prevent. You can do some things to try and make them a little bit better, but it's going to happen. And I think like me going into it thinking that I could prevent some of this stuff from happening has hit me harder because I'm like, I'm doing things differently this time. Like I'm making sure to eat what I need to eat for my hair and I'm taking the supplements and I'm drinking enough water and I'm doing all of these things. And you just can't prevent it. And I'm sleeping more. Like I'm doing my best to sleep. Like I go to bed at 8 o'clock now, like, right? Like I'm doing what I can. And it's just some things you just can't prevent. And I think that it's really important. It would have been really beneficial, I should say, for me to have heard that again. And so I hope somebody out there hears this and can just remember that it's not your fault. It's just what women go through.
There's not enough raw carrots in the world you can eat to prevent your hormone changes, even though TikTok will tell you to make a shaved carrot salad. But I thank you for sharing that on here because, I mean, I think it's really profound that when you think about the work that you do and how you support clients and all of the things that you talk about on your channels and our podcast, of course, and like that, it's not diet culture, but it kind of is, right? That totally. There was like still that part of you that was like, which we talk about all the time, that like this is a lifelong journey and you're always going to ebb and flow. And I feel like motherhood on top of diet culture creates that other added level. So it's like there was that little part of you that was holding out hope that if I just do X, Y, and Z, then like this won't happen. And it's going back to that idea of like, our bodies are going to go through shit. They're going to ebb and flow. We have no control. We can do a lot of things that you are doing to best support your energy levels, right? And your nourishment and like the nutrients in your body. But there's only so much that we can do. And it sucks.
It's really hard. And it's a mind game too. So I also, she just left. I have I think I mentioned this a couple podcasts ago too, that I hired a professional organizer to hit up my closet. And so before this podcast today, today was the purge day, like the edit day.
That sounds orgasmic to me.
Like, I just found clothes in my closet with her, like the dress that I wore at Penn State at the Shandy Gaff on my 21st birthday.
Did it smell like cigarettes? Did it still smell like cigarettes?
I am almost 37. Do the math.
Yeah, but that's like a antique piece. Like that needs to be gone. Framed.
No. But like, so she just came, we just spent 2 hours together, but she was here from like 9 to almost 2 o'clock going through these clothes.
Do you have pictures? Do you have pictures I want to see?
She's doing a content. She's going to create a reel once it's done.
Please send it.
But my point in saying this is as we were going through some of these bins and things, like I've held on to clothes, not that dress that obviously I was saving for posterity purposes up until today, but I had clothes in there like shorts. It doesn't matter what like the size was, but they were way too small for the body that I am in now. And I have carried, they've been way too small for a long time. Let's just say that. But I've carried them with me from house to house, from like life change to life change, with this like feeling like the what if I'll ever wear them again kind of feeling, which I know we've talked about before on here. And I know you've done a lot of content on that. And today it was finally the day where she said, just say yes or no. And she held up these things that like, first of all, I am a mother of two. I am not walking around with my ass cheeks hanging out on the beach anymore. Like, nor like if you want to do that, you go, girl. But like, that just can't be my vibe this summer. And she's like holding things up and she just says, just say yes or no, your first instinct, and we'll go with it. And like for the first time ever in my life, I just was saying no to things that like I know the me that I am right now, postpartum or whatever, like it's just not going to happen and that's okay. And holding on to these things is just not making my space calm. Her name is Calm Space Organizer. So it's not making my space calm. And like that was like a really big moment for me. So I did need to share that.
Jenna, I feel like we literally had this exact conversation. It feels like deja vu, except for you.
But it was not that long ago.
I know, but packing your hospital bag for your baby number two. And I just started like all of my collectibles and kind of organizing everything. And you bet your bottom dollar, all of my favorite Lumi products are ready to go in my toiletry bag. The trifecta that I'm obsessed with, deodorant wipes, you just can't go without them. No. The solid stick deodorant, toasted coconut, chef's kiss, and then the clean tangerine, the mini body wash, ready to go. So I feel like it's going to be like a little spa at the hospital, having all of my favorite Lumi products. And I can't wait to see what my postpartum stench is like this time around. With products that actually work versus last time I was not using Lumi and it was not as enjoyable for my nose.
You know how people always talk about like, this is what I'm packing in my hospital bag. And like most of the time it looks like really elaborate and extravagant. And you're like, they're definitely not using half of that stuff. Number one product that I used when I stayed in the hospital after having baby number two was my Lumi products. So I can't wait to hear how it serves you well post-delivery this time around. So for our listeners, Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes that Sam just recommended, and free shipping. As a special offer for all of our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off the starter pack. All you have to do is use code FORK for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's F-O-R-K at Lumi, LumiDeodorant.com.
That really loops into the, like, what the fuck is happening with my body postpartum yes. theme, because, oh, there's like, first of all, we know, we say this time and time again, there is no such thing as like bouncing back from having a baby. Your body will never be the same. It shouldn't look the same. Like, there are changes that happen to your pelvis and your hips.
I was going to say your hips, like they actually have to expand to allow a baby out.
Yes. Like rib cage, you name it. Like, there are changes that happen. But also, like, I just think about how long postpartum it took for me to even feel, I don't even want to say normal. Normal isn't the right word, but like semi-neutral in my body, maybe, let's say.
And then you got pregnant again.
And then I started injecting myself every day. And now here we are. But it's like, it's so crazy to think, like, and I remember getting really frustrated in the postpartum time, because it's like, my pre-pregnancy clothes didn't fit. You don't really fit into your maternity clothes anymore, and you don't want to, because you've been wearing those things for, like, you know, you had your certain things that you wore over and over and over that were like comfy. And then you're like, want to start dressing kind of semi-cute again, or like put stylish things on your body, but they weren't fitting. And I just remember being, again, it had nothing to do with my worth being tied to my weight or the size of my body, but it was just like a very frustrating, uncomfortable time. So I can imagine, like, that was very freeing today for you to just be like, no, like, enough is enough. Like, no more.
I mean, she had the pile. I actually have a picture of the pile. I can show you right now through the screen so that everybody can hear your reaction to it. But I was looking at it and I'm like, what is the most upsetting is how much money for the year.
That's a very large pile for anybody listening. It is a mountain of clothes.
And this is like 15 years of my life of clothes that I've been either purchasing or with like that back of the mind, like thought of like, well, one day this will fit. And like that, I'm realizing how much that like kept me in like a sick cycle, right? Of just like, just not being true to the person that I am and want to be. And it also was just making a mess in my closet that was making a mess in my brain that like, I haven't even seen the upstairs since she's taken all that out, because I came down here to go back to work. But next week, I think she comes in and like organizes things and like to have a new system for all of this stuff. And like, I think the whole other piece of this is being postpartum too. Not only getting rid of the things that don't fit anymore is super important, but like, I've lost all semblance of style between COVID and having two kids. Like, I don't know what the fuck to wear. Like, I don't have a style anymore. And so to be able to at least now see what I do have and maybe like mix and match and put some things together that I know fit me, like that's a feeling that I'm excited to now walk into this space versus like the suffocation of if I want to wear something and pull it, but it's from 2005. When I was entering college, like that, it's just not who I am anymore in so many ways. And so I'm excited for that as that being a positive of what the fuck is happening to my life instead of body right now, postpartum.
All I have to say from a style perspective is thank God that like matching sweatsuits are in. Like,
they've but I feel been like in... I look like a potato in a matching sweatsuit.
I know, but they're so comfy. I just like, especially like working from home, I just like can't imagine like wearing real clothes. Like, I just don't know if I ever will again. But yeah, I feel someone wrote in to us. We got to dig this up in the archives. Someone wrote in about a style, like a body inclusive stylist.
This is when you started talking about how you had no style or whatever it was. And somebody did. Somebody did say, like, you should try this person.
Yes. I feel like we could dig that up from the archives to, like, bring them back to talk about that with them. Or I'll see people talk about that of, like, I forget what it's called, like, getting your colors or, like, getting your colors matched.
The capsule. It's a capsule closet, right?
Well, no, a capsule wardrobe, but then,
okay.
I think Victoria Garrick did something with, like, a stylist where, like, she had, like, a color palette in front of her face, and it's, like, finding what colors pop on you with, like, your skin complexion, your hair color, your eyes, like... And fabulous. Again, like, I wear all black. All clearly, look
you
at me.
You do wear a lot of black.
All the time. All the time. Luke was like, do you own a color? And I'm like, no, not in this phase of life.
But I donated a lot of tie-dye today. Like, a lot.
I feel like there was, like, a lot of tie-dye going on in college.
A lot of tie-dye.
Lots of tie-dye. Oh, my God. Okay, well, what the fuck else is happening to your body? Like, what?
My boobs are, like, okay, so the weaning process is wild, right? So on Sunday, I went from pumping, I was down to 3 solid pump sessions a day in my, like, beginning wean, and I was getting, like, the same 20 ounces out of the 3 pumps, and I was feeling really good about that. But on Sunday, I pushed down to 2. And the way that I, like, Noah ran into me by accident, and I wept like a baby that's tired and hungry. Like, it hurt so bad. I cannot even describe to you how that felt. And now I'm like, they're a little bit full right now, but I have not pumped today, and it's 2:00. And so I'll do, like, maybe 1 or 1.5 today and can, like, continue that wean. But I can already tell, like, the deflation that has happened to my boobs from, like, what they were, my breasts from what they were pre-babies to now. Like, I don't have a lot to work with to begin with, but, like, they don't look the same. So there's that. And then the smell of the hormone shift that's happening now. So, like, there's, like, immediate postpartum, but then this, like, 4-month postpartum, it's like, I'm just, like, stinky from, like, head to toe. And I know we talk about this a lot, but, like, it's the kind of smell where I'm like, do other people smell this? Or is it just me? Or are people just being nice and not saying anything? Like, I really genuinely don't know.
I mean, to be honest, I don't remember the 4 to 7 month range, but I do remember the immediate postpartum, and it was horrendous. Like, I remember being so repulsed myself. And again, I think part of it was the shock of, like, no one tells you that. And then being like, am I good? Like, no, I wasn't. But, like,
am I good?
Like, oh my God, like, I'm dreading that because I remember it so distinctly. Like, and I'm talking both, like, vagina. I forget the name of the, what's the name of the discharge? I always mess it up. Is it Lochia? It's Locia. If you Google it, that is, like, the discharge that all women have. It is the, placenta, when your placenta detaches from your uterus, like, it's like the scar tissue and stuff being removed. That has a stench. That's, like, a known thing. And, like, and if you, like, look it up and get on TikTok and get down rabbit holes, you'll smell that. But it wasn't just
that through TikTok.
You'll smell it. But the pits were, like, next level. Like, next fucking level. That to me is, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, we don't go through enough. Like, I think that's where, like, I'm just like, I was just ripped in half. Like, why do I have to smell like a dead carcass too? You know? Like, that's the truth, though. And I feel like people need to hear this because it's like, no one told me.
So, again, with the deja vu, Sam, last time we talked about this, you had home construction going on and we're having a hard time figuring out, you know, how to feed yourself and navigate just the the stressors and the differences of having construction going on in your home. And now it's my turn. And with two little babies, by the end of the day, there is absolutely no capacity in my brain for not only cooking, but also cleaning. So that is one of the absolute main reasons why I love Factor meals, besides the fact that they're absolutely delicious. I know I said this last time in one of our episodes, but I am obsessed with that Greek bowl. My God, the pasta, chicken, Greek inspired flavors is just absolutely delicious. But everything about Factor meals are such a home run. The no fuss, no mess meals help you eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. You just simply heat and savor the good stuff and enjoy whatever time you have left of your night.
Love that. And you know, with baby number two coming around the corner for me, I am stocking up on my Factor meals, and that's what I plan on eating every single day, truly.
It's a good plan.
It's a great plan. So if you want to give Factor a try, you can head over to factormeals.com/fork50, that's 50, and use code FORK50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code FORK50 at factormeals.com/fork50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I think just hearing that it's normal is really, or it will happen. I don't want to use the word normal because, like, what's normal for us might not be normal for somebody else.
Yeah.
But, like, also at the same time, right? Maybe we're dehydrated even against our best efforts or missing like a nutrient. And somebody out there knows that, like, if we're not taking enough magnesium, like, whatever the fuck, I don't know, I'm making things up. But, like, if you are also smelly postpartum, you're not alone. If your hair, it's like, not only has it like the grease aspect and like the falling out, it's also like the texture of my hair is just
I remember
dry
that.
On the bottom, and it's not dead. Like, it's fine, but it's like dry and like coarse and like crunchy. Like, it's staying. It's, this is clean hair. Like, this is not what this is supposed to do. And it's very knotty. It's just different. And like, I don't know how to describe it, but like, this is where being postpartum gets really, really, really lonely. And it's so easy to like stay lonely to some extent too, because it's like, I don't want to go anywhere because I don't want to leave the house because I don't know how to dress myself. I'm exhausted still. I feel like I can't put myself together despite my best efforts, right? And like, then there had the whole pumping level to it. And you just, it's so easy to stay in a cycle of like repetition and loneliness. And I don't know, just what's the right word? Just alone. Because it feels really hard to break out of some of those feelings and like mental discomforts. So one of my goals for the next couple months specifically, is because I know this about myself and I know I did this last time, is to get out of the house and to do things that, you know, make me feel like Jenna and not mommy or even wife or, you know, homemaker, whatever it is, right? Like, I need to do something and things that push me outside of my house, because it's very easy to fall into that cycle of not leaving because of all of those things. And I think that's something that I didn't do well last time, and I'm really working on it this time, because there's like this unfair level of, you know, after your 6-week appointment or even like 2 months, like, people stop checking in because you're not like early postpartum, right? And like, you have some semblance of your life back, and you'll see, I think this time around with number two, like, you really don't have the ability or like the luxury, you can call it, to like not do other things because you have an older kid that still needs you in the same, even more so now. Right. And so you want to keep their life as consistent and as routined as it once was, which forces you to do things like drop off and like leave the house to go to activities and whatever else. So I think that for the phase of like 2 months to 4 months, you're in this like lull and beyond where you don't feel like yourself again. Like, you are still very much postpartum. You're still very much living by like baby nap schedules and eating schedules and pumping schedules or breastfeeding or formula feeding or whatever that is, keeping them, you know, as best kept as possible. Mm-hmm. And then not sleeping. And I just feel like having conversations with people that don't also have babies or aren't also pregnant or whatever it is, it's like, I feel like I have nothing else to talk about because it's consuming my life right now, right? And like, you're still very much hormonal and postpartum, but like, there's less support to some extent because you're not like the one that's brand new postpartum anymore. There's somebody else that is. So I feel like I'm in this like weird, like alternative universe where I'm like trying to get back to normal life and like navigate life with two kids. But like, fuck, my brain is not functioning yet. And I'm not in any way, shape or form, like back to like a normal semblance of my life. And I think that's like this, like, I don't even know what I would call it. It's like this, what is the word in like the Marvel universe? Like I'm like an alternate timeline, like living like above.
I didn't watch the Marvel movies, so I'm not going to help with that. But
I'm saying though?
Yes, I totally do. And I think this one might be a difficult one to understand if someone hasn't been through the postpartum time, but I think you're putting words to something I definitely experienced and didn't really know other people went through it. Cause again, like people don't really talk about it. And so you just think like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, or like, I'm not doing good enough, or, you know, whatever.
Or other people are leaving the house or put together. Like, why can't I?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, and I also think like, I was thinking while you were talking about how with body image, like we talk a lot about, like, it's like, okay, accepting like your body has changed and like specifically like maybe size or shape, especially with pregnancy and postpartum. But then like how we're talking about the hair or the stench or the, you know, whatever it is. I did a podcast episode with one of our new providers, Maya, on the Fine Food Freedom team. And I'm going to totally butcher how she said it to me. So I don't want to put words in her mouth. But you talked about this concept of like how her clients were always coming to her, like afraid to, air quotes, let themselves go. Mm. And how this is like what we're taught as women of like, don't let yourselves go. And like, I think it comes back to like that bouncing back after baby stuff. But it's like, everything changes after having a kid, and especially the time frame that you're in postpartum. And so it's like, yeah, if we are, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I'm thinking back to myself of like,
I'm sure I'm doing it, whatever you're saying.
Well, I'm just gonna say like my hair looks like shit. I smell bad, right? Like I didn't have time to put makeup on because I'm chasing my toddler and I'm pumping and I'm da 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 da. And it's like, it makes you small because, and when I say small, I mean like
your life
small, because it's like, well, I feel like shit, which we do feel like shit because we're not sleeping and all of the things, right, that we talked about. But it's, she used the verbiage of like letting yourself go. It actually can be one of the most powerful things you can do to let go. Mm. And it was a really cool perspective shift that she offered. And I feel like, and I try really hard to, like, don't get me wrong, I like putting on makeup and doing my hair and like going out. And like when I do, I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
this is fun.
This is crazy. But like, I think about the time, and I'm not saying people shouldn't put on makeup or do their hair or anything, but like, I think about the time that I have in a day and what I want to accomplish and what I want to feel and what I want to experience. And it's like, in this season of life, like, let yourself fucking go. And like, because if you think about that, like what that really can mean, it's like, stop, like, don't let that shit hold you back from showing up to go on a, you know, a mom's date or a mom's day out with whoever, or going to a class or going to, you know, whatever that thing is, because you think like, oh, my hair is too greasy, or people are going to smell me, or, you know, it sounds like silly to say, but like, I do remember being so like, ugh, that like, I didn't want to do anything, but like,
you just get stuck. Yeah. And there is a little bit of like postpartum depression or anxiety or like whatever postpartum hormone shift you want to like drag into that. 100%, because in your brain, you're also like stuck with yourself and your baby in a dark room. Correct. And like sound machines and whatever else, like a lot. And it's like, you know, you can accept that this is my season of life right now. And like, that's that. And I think this time around for me, I've done a lot of that, like just accepting, like, I know this time around, these seasons don't last forever. Cause I have the proof upstairs currently taking his nap that like at some point there is a nap routine, right? Like there is a, I don't know, whatever else, like feeding routine, whatever
more
else.
More consistency.
Like, it happens. But when you're in it, it's really easy to forget. And I think for me right now, if I'm being honest, I've already forgotten those early hellish days and weeks of postpartum as like a defense mechanism. Like I really have, like so much of it I've already forgotten. And when I get into my head about like, I should be like leaving the house or doing this or whatever else, like I try and remind myself of that. And something that's been really helpful for me is at the end of the day, I used to try and force like more work or more cleaning or, you know, maybe a workout if I did an exercise or even like journaling or something that like I love to do. And now I'm just going to sleep. Like at the end of babies and toddler bedtime, like when it's my turn to like close up the kitchen and go to bed, like I'm closing up the kitchen and going to bed. Like once everybody else is sleeping, there's nothing else that's more important because I know how important my sleep is to me. And so if I'm getting however many hours, if I can go as soon as he go, as close to when he goes to bed as possible, the better, right? And that's been super, super helpful for me. And something else that I think is really important is I made a list the other day of like, what do I need, right? Like, what do I need to feel like a human being to some extent in this season of life? And I decided what like the couple things were, and I'm really prioritizing those things. And so one of the things for me is having food available in the fridge, like prepped food ready for me, or things that I can easily like string together, because if I don't, then eating becomes difficult and that does not set me up for success. Hydration, I've made that commitment to myself. I'm like making sure that that's something that I can do every single day, and getting outside and getting fresh air. And like those three things alone, if I could do that every day, like I'm considering it a win. And I know my mental health is so much better for it. Whereas if you scroll TikTok, if you look at social media, if you think about wellness girlies routines and blah, 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 these like 15 steps that people are doing, like I watch those and I'm like, that must be so nice for them. Like that's not realistic for my life right now. And so I'm trying to focus on like, if I can get those three things done, which is literally eat, drink water, and some sunlight, like that is my win. And I'm trying, my second phase of that is trying to work on being proud of myself for just doing those things and then adding more things onto it.
I love that. And I couldn't agree more with it. And I'm going to like steal it from you for my second postpartum.
And you have so much more sunlight than me.
I do. But I remember, well, for me, like, you know, last time postpartum was summer and it's going to be similar months-ish. And it's like impossible to get outside because it's like 100 degrees plus so humidity. Hot. And then, you know, the baby's like too young to like stick them in a pool. So I just remember feeling like so trapped postpartum, but also like part of it was heat, but part of it was just not having the mental capability to get myself outside. So definitely agree with all of those. And I think for anyone listening who's in the postpartum time or is about to be in the postpartum time, it's, you know, I heard you use the word just, and I work with a mentor who like always like prompts me like, take that word out of there, because it's not just going outside eating, drinking water. It's like you're doing those things and they're so amazing smart. And they're huge, and they're huge wins that you should be celebrating. And I think this episode is going to be so helpful to anyone in the postpartum time of like, ask for help, get support, and talk to other postpartum moms, because you are not, you are not alone in what you are going through. And whether it's a Facebook group or a counselor, whoever, a therapist, like whatever you need, but like you are not alone in what you're going through.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of What the Actual Fork Pod. We know there are a lot of pods out there, and we are so grateful that you are here listening with us.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, like, share with all of your friends and faves. And don't forget to rate and review and let us know what you want to hear more of. The more we hear from you, the more that we can make these episodes exactly what you want. We would also love to connect with you on Instagram at WhatTheActualForkPod.
We promise to continue to bring you the hottest topics, greatest guests, and the most fun you can possibly have fighting diet culture bullshit. We love you, we appreciate you, and we will see you next week for more fun.